Lord has been stirring in my heart for a few months, this message. And I'm excited to finally get to release it to you. And hopefully God will use it to encourage and inspire you in your life. Basically today I'd like to share three stories with you. And the first one is more of a personal story of a time when we lived in California. And we had a family that we were very good friends with. The husband and the father was a pastor of a church for several years, probably for about 10 years. And he had three kids, and we watched their kids grow up in the church. And I love this family. I love the ministry that they brought to the church, who they were. And God just used them in tremendous ways in our lives and in the lives of our kids. And they were just wonderful people, still are. About 10 years into the ministry at that church, their youngest child, who was a girl, was going off to college. And she was an amazing softball pitcher, amazingly. So she got a full ride scholarship to a university in California to pitch. And in fact, her dad told her, he said, if you can get a full scholarship to college, I will buy you a brand new car. Because he figured a brand new car was cheaper than college. And so she did. And he bought her a new truck. And off she went to college. And well, she was there for, like, you know, school starts in the fall. She was there for a couple of months. And right around this time of the year, she came home and told her parents that she was pregnant. And it was very devastating to this family, as you can imagine. That's not news that you're excited to hear when your daughter is 18 and she's gone off to college on scholarship and had big plans for her life. And so she, that's the way it was. There was a lot of disgrace and a lot of shame that was put upon them for this act. And they knew the boy. They had been dating back in our hometown where we were before she had gone off to college. So the church knew. I mean, they brought this to the church, and the church knew this was happening. And unfortunately, there was a lot of sadness around this story, in my opinion, because there wasn't a freedom for them to just completely come clean. And I have seen this, actually, and I think all of you probably know somebody in your life that has had a similar experience, because it's pretty common in our society. For this family, they couldn't come clean. And so instead, they created a story that seemed really, really difficult to believe. And that's what they presented to the church. And to this day, I cannot tell you if it was true or not, but the final outcome of the story was, technically, there wasn't any sexual relations going on. It was almost like an immaculate conception. And so she was technically still a virgin. And this was the story that the church got, and the youth group got, and everybody got. It caused a big problem in our church. So the saddest part of it to me was that these people had been with the church body for 10 years, and they didn't feel safe enough to share the full truth or disclose the full truth. So they covered it up. And in the end, they ended up leaving town. They ended up moving away. All their kids moved away. Everybody moved away. And whether, you know, the details of the story too, maybe there was some truth to what they were saying, but the way it was handled left everybody wondering. And I tell you that story for a couple of reasons. One is that I do know that all of us struggle with things in our lives that bring us shame. And for us here, we need to be able to bring that to one another and know that we will be loved, we will be embraced. and that we can be honest with each other. And I think that's really important. Because this family, I think that they left, and almost like I'm leaving and I'm not turning back. And that was the way to deal with it, is to get out of the lives of the people that they were with. The next story, there it is. The next story is the story of Mary. And I love that song that Gracie just sang, because it was a prayer from Mary's heart. And Mary didn't have it easy. She was, people think she was probably between 12 and 14 years old when this angel, Gabriel, visited her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." And I don't know. If I had an angel visit me, I'd be a little scary, and I don't know if I'd feel highly favored or what that even means. What does that mean? I like this picture of Mary and Gabriel, not so much because of Gabriel, because I'm not really sure what an angel looks like, but because of Mary. Because her response, and we're going to look at Mary's response when this angel came to her. So Gabriel says, "You're highly favored. The Lord is with you." Well, that's a good thing. Do I point it this way? You can tell I'm new at this. There we go. Mary's first response, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. This is troubling news, you know. It's like she was scared. I think if I had an angel, if I was at home one day and an angel appeared before me, I think I'd be shaking. So I think her first response was fear. She was greatly troubled. But the angel said, there we go. Gabriel speaks, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." She found favor again. We see this again. And, okay, well, that's good so far. And Gabriel goes on to explain, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." And the name Jesus comes from the name Yeshua, which is the name of God, and which was how they got the name Joshua, who led the people into the Promised Land, which means salvation. So Gabriel says, you're gonna have a son, and his name is gonna be Jesus. He's gonna bring salvation. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." So, Mary's second response. Am I having a problem? Oh, that would really help. I'm thinking, come on, I'm pushing the button. It's not working. All right, thank you. Mary's second response, basically, "I don't get it. What do you mean? How can this be? I'm still a virgin. How can I have a baby?" And now it's going to work. Maybe. Did it go? Oh, okay. Good. All right. So Gabriel explains. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Well, that's pretty startling news. The Son of God. She's going to have the Son of God. And then the angel goes on to say, I'm going to give you even more of a confirmation by telling you about another amazing occurrence that is happening at the same time. And it says, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age." That would be beyond childbearing years. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. Who was she having? What baby was she having? Anybody? John the Baptist. Yeah, so and the one that was going to go before Jesus. So here's God. What I love about this story of Mary is that God just kept confirming to her over and over and over again that what was spoken by the angel was true. And so Mary's third response is, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." That's a beautiful response. I love that. It says, then the angel left her. So she said, okay. I mean, she just got told, you're going to have a baby. I know, you know, you're still a virgin, but you're going to have this baby, and this baby's going to be the Son of God. And she was very young. It was a 13-year-old, maybe 14-year-old, young girl. So what does she do? She goes off to visit her relative, Elizabeth. We don't know what Elizabeth, if she was an aunt, she was a cousin, they had big families back then, we don't know. But she was older, and she wasn't able to bear children anymore because of her age. So, it says Mary hurries off to go see her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home, and Elizabeth greeted her. Zechariah was her husband. And so I asked the question, why was she in a hurry? Well, I mean, she just got pretty startling news. I think she was afraid. I don't know that her fear actually even left her, or if it maybe came and went. Because sometimes we can hear something from the Lord and we believe it, and then fear creeps back in when we start to doubt. And I think that could very well could have been the case with Mary. I mean, she's still saying, well, okay. She said yes to the Lord, which is a good thing. But I think that the Lord knew that she needed more to confirm to her, yes, this is really happening to you, and I'm going to confirm it to you over and over and over again. So this is Mary, and Elizabeth is the one kneeling down. It says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, it's important to know that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit at this point, because she starts to speak prophetically. And she says, and it says, she exclaimed in a loud voice, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored? Here again, Elizabeth is saying, I'm favored. Wow. God has found favor with me. Why? Because she said that the mother of my Lord should come to me. So she knew that God was living inside Mary at this point. She said, the mother of my Lord has come to me. God will reveal that to her. And I think because she was filled with the Holy Spirit, she knew it. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And so she says, blessed is she who has believed. And Elizabeth confirmed to Mary her belief at that point, I believe. She said, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. So she was confirming to her belief. She said, you said yes to the Lord. You believed it. And I think that gave Mary a little bit more strength. Maybe staved off a little bit more of the fear that was probably going on inside of her at that time. So Mary has one final response. And this is actually called Mary's, this whole part of the scripture is called Mary's song, because it really was a song. And I love this song, and that's what really started my juices flowing on even sharing this with you today, was Mary's song and Mary's response, her final and fourth response to her having Jesus. And the first part of this is very personal. If you read it, Mary says, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. And even in that, I thought, it's like she was set free to worship God. So, and then she says, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. She knew that she was carrying the Son of God, her Savior. This was her Savior. It was very personal. It says, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. She's still talking about herself. It's like, wow. I can't believe this is happening to me. And from now on, generations will call me blessed. And they do. We still do. And I think that will be for the end of time. Now, Mary is speaking these words also. She's speaking prophetically. And so after she says this, she turns to speak of who God is. And what I love about the whole next part of this song is that Mary takes this time to look back. If you, I put it in red. He has. She takes the rest of this to say, this is the God that is living in me right now. This is the God that has decided to invade our world, to come in the flesh and be with us. This is who he has been, and this is who he's going to be. So she looks back, and I just think that's really important. I think it's important for us to look back and see what has God done. See what has God done in the world, and also what has God done in me and in you. And so she finishes this song saying, and this is prophetic words, which actually set the tone for the rest of the Gospel of Luke. And she says, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. So she looked back through history, through the history of Israel, back through the Old Testament, back through who was God throughout time, who was God to his people, his chosen people that he loves. And Jesus was coming to fulfill all of that and to carry that through throughout the rest of time to all of us. And that God decided to come and be one with us, be with us. So there's a couple more places I want to look at Mary's life. One is another confirmation, and you all know the story, that the shepherds were out in their fields. It would be a wild thing too if you were a shepherd, kind of out there hanging out with the sheep and tending your flocks, and all of a sudden this heavenly host of angels appears and starts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom favor rests. Again, they use the term favor rests. So God sent angels to these shepherds out in the field and said, guess what? It says, today a Savior is born. And so the shepherd's response, it says, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard were amazed. And, you know, something that I love when I read the Bible that I've been doing a lot too is paying attention to the mood. Paying attention to, they were amazed. I mean, this is amazing, you know. Sometimes I think we can just we read the words and we don't think about what the emotion or what the drama that was taking place, what was really going on. So it says, everybody who heard this, they were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary's response, it says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary, I think it was another confirmation from God. It's like, okay, just so you know that this really happened to you, I'm going to send you a whole bunch of shepherds and tell you this is true. This happened to you. It's real. And I think God, in his love, just knew this is a lot for this girl to take on. She had an interesting life. So God confirmed through the shepherds to Mary that, yes, this is my son. And that's just a beautiful act of God toward Mary, I think. And then the last time that we're going to look at Mary was Jesus when he was 12 years old. And some of you might be familiar with the story, but basically at 12 years old, the only time that it's ever talked about in the Bible of Jesus' youth, it's in Luke chapter 2. But every year, all of the Jewish families would go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, and they had a big feast, and it was a big deal. But Mary's family, Mary and Joseph and their kids and everybody, they lived 80 miles away. So in order to go to Jerusalem, it took them 3 days to get there. And so they would travel for 3 days, and their families were usually quite large, and so there would be a lot of people that would be making this caravan journey to Jerusalem for Passover. So they went, they would stay there for a week, for 7 days, and feast and celebrate God, and then they would make the journey back home for 3 days. So at this point, they decided it's time to go home. They packed up. They are on their way back home. They've been journeying for a full day before they even realized Jesus isn't with them. And so, you know, I think about even me as a mother. I think about just those few times in my life when my kids have been out of my sight for just a little bit of time and I don't know where they are. And it happened to me once when Jack was very little at Disneyland. And I remember just being kind of panicked, like, oh my gosh, you know, at Disneyland, there's a million people, I'll never find him. And it was really scary. And I think that for Mary and Joseph, that was a little, it caused anxiousness in their hearts. And so it's like, where's Jesus? He's supposed to be with us. So then they're a day's journey away. So they got to turn around and go for another full day back to Jerusalem and start searching for him. And so they get back to Jerusalem and they find him in the temple. And he is, actually he was not teaching. Some people think he was teaching in the temple. But if you read carefully, he was listening. It says that he was listening to the teachers teach in the temple. And the thing that the people were amazed at were his answers, his responses, and how he was learning, because they saw there's something special about this guy. He's really very wise. And so they get back to the temple. They find Jesus there listening. And Mary says, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And, you know, again, the emotion. I can feel the emotion of that. I think I shouldn't have been real calm when I said that. And Jesus' response, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" And at this point, Jesus, what we see in this, at 12 years old, Jesus knew why he was here. He knew what his mission was. He knew what he came to accomplish. And it says then after that, they went back to Nazareth, and he was obedient to them. And again, it says that Mary treasured all these things in her heart. And I spent a little bit of time looking at that because I just thought, wow, it's like everybody else, they were looking from afar, but this was Jesus' mother, you know, and I'm a mother, so I kind of know what that's like a little bit. I'm not Mary. But it's Mary reflected on all of the happenings around her. I mean, up through all this time, she's raising the Son of God. Well, that's an interesting task. I don't know. I just think that's amazing that she could do that. And then think about it. If he was 12, he's still pretty young. You know, 20, you know, finding Jesus out of the temple. It's like, okay, well, come on. So she had a huge job. She had to raise Jesus and know that he was God. That's something that I just don't think any of us will fully be able to comprehend. Mary herself, what I love about Mary is if you look at her, the things that God called her to, he called her to live by faith. Yeah, I think, and we don't hear tons and tons about Mary, but there's enough there, and I know from life experience that it's difficult. I mean, I think her life was difficult. She had to sacrifice her reputation. You know that not everybody believed what these people believe, the shepherds believe. They had angels coming to them. And you know, something that I always thought was interesting about the story too is I think the hardest people to face when you feel like you've done something wrong or you have something to tell, the hardest people, especially in this kind of situation, would be your parents. And we didn't ever hear Mary's parents' response to her pregnancy. But I think she had to live that. That was part of her thing. I'm sure there was plenty of people that were skeptical. So she had to sacrifice her reputation for God to say, "I know, because God's confirmed this to me, that this is my call. This is what I'm supposed to do." And so I can trust God with that. She had to sacrifice her body, which every mother knows. She had to live in danger. And if you know, throughout the whole story of the birth of Christ, we know that there's a lot of danger involved. And even the danger of, God protected her along the way. But it would be a dangerous thing to turn up pregnant back in those days. I mean, that would be enough to be stoned in many circles. So she suffered great loss, which is obvious even just through the life and death of Jesus and what she was called to walk through with him. So the thing that I really wanted to focus on at the end of this was our story here. It says, because I believe that we're called to live by faith, obviously, and so for each of us, we can ask ourselves this question, ask the question of, can we say what Mary said? I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said. And I believe that every single person has a calling and a story. And God is working and weaving his way through your life. And you have a story and a call. And so my idea, I have this idea, and a little bit different, but my idea for this group of people, I love Cherry Grove. I love the people that I've gotten to know, and there's still many more to know. But this is a place where God is at work. And every single person, God is at work in you. And I feel like as a group of people, it's not a random thing how God brings people together, I don't think. I believe God is moving and acting in that. And he has brought us here together. And each of us is unique. So my idea was, how can we as a body see our story? See what God is doing in us. And my little treasure box, here, that what I thought we could do is there's little cards sitting on the pews or around you and pencils. And what I thought we could do is just spend a few minutes just quietly waiting on the Lord and just reflecting like Mary did. Mary was really good at listening to God, pondering what God was doing, and also responding to what God was doing. And I would like for us as a body to do that as well. And so as you sit with the Lord, I would just ask that you just ask God, where was there a time in my history where you were moving and acting in my life and where you increased my faith? And where I had to trust you. And just write that down. Because I think when we look back, it gives us strength and power to move forward. It helps define who we are. And who we are as individuals. And who we are as a corporate body here. And so my idea was, I would like everybody to write. You don't have to. I mean, if God doesn't. This is a participation thing that I would love every single person that's going to participate in, but it's really completely up to you. You don't have to write your name. If you want to write your name, you can, but you don't have to write your name. And what I would like you to do is bring your card up and put it in the treasure box. Because I think every single person in here is a treasure. And God has amazing things and amazing stories to tell through your lives and in your lives. And it's not over till it's over. Until we're dead, it's not over. And so I'm excited about the future here. And so I actually asked a local artist if they would take a compilation of the story of Cherry Grove and create some type of artistic expression of that. And so next week, we're going to have that. And I thought maybe we could just have that very visible even through the next few weeks of Advent, because next week starts Advent, and I'm excited to hear the things that Arden is going to share with us about this time. Mary was an actually, she was a very ordinary young woman, poor young girl, in a little town, obscure town, and God did amazing things through her. And I think, well, you know, Battleground. How many people have heard of Battleground? Worldwide. You know, it's just, maybe it's just an obscure little town. But God can do amazing things through the lives of the people that are here. So we're just going to take a few minutes of silence.
Yes.
Well, I think I have it. I'm glad you said that. That should help you. Just think about those things.